When you, as a prophetic person, call out for judgment, you have to pass through it first. And when I hear prophetic people flippantly saying, God judge him, or God's going to judge him, I say, don't you read your Bible? Judgment begins in the house of God, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where stands the sinner? What broke my heart in those times of the judgment was the very thing that God was speaking judgment on these people and these groups for, I myself was guilty of. I could not have passed that standard of judgment myself. That's what loving mercy is. That's what humility is. There, but for the grace of God, there go I, or whatever. Well, to me, I think that's true of just about everything in the kingdom of God. So, the character that we have is the very thing that absorbs the pain, the anger, the injustices, the woundings, the betrayals of life, and filters it, holds it in. You'll still feel it. Being perfected in God does not mean that you don't feel your emotions. Absolutely. You know? Well, I won't use that word. That's pushing it. But, you know, people make me mad every day, just about. I have a very high-stress job that involves coordinating a lot of people, and it irritates me. It annoys me. But hopefully my character protects them from that. It doesn't always. That's not fair. That's not right. So anyway, that's what your character does. It gives you the line of administration, the line of government, that first line of being subject to the prophet. It protects the world around you from using that gift, that anointing that God has given you, for selfish, self-seeking motivations on other people. If you don't have that, He's never going to entrust you with the power to judge. He's never going to entrust you with the power to rise, to establish kings and nations and pull them down again. Because you'll end up using it as you see fit. And you know, it might even be what God wanted. It's possible to do the very will of the Father and still have Him to have an issue with it, because He judges by the thoughts and intents of your heart. The other thing I want to say about the prophetic stuff, right? The prophetic, the mystical, the miracles, walking on water, raising the dead, turning water into wine, is not the kingdom of God. Those are things of the kingdom. Prayer, worship, reading your Bible. Those are not the kingdom of God. Doing the miracles isn't the kingdom of God. Doing the prophetic is not the kingdom of God. Those are the things of the kingdom. But they aren't the kingdom. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in the heart of a person. That's the kingdom of God. And all these things we do, they're good and godly things. But they're not the kingdom. And when you start ascribing too much importance and significance to those things, they start compromising the purity, the power, and the integrity of what the very thing you're trying to produce in people with those things. And that is the kingdom of God. So everything has to be done in balance. The thing that character does, the union with the Father's heart, is that you're able to walk in these things without being overcome by any of them, without being diverted or siphoned off by any of them. You're able to say, I don't know. I mean, seriously, why is that so hard to say? I don't know. Because of our competitive nature. Because we have no way of evaluating our status and stature with God, because He doesn't come around and give out report cards. The tendency is to do it against each other. Has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. The pleasure of your Father upon you has to do with who He created you to be, called you to be, and set before your hand to do. Might have nothing to do with mine. But if I'm judging myself against you, by doing that, all I'm doing is setting myself up for one of two things. If I feel I'm doing better than you, I've become arrogant. If I feel you're doing better than me, I've got condemnation on me. Because here's one of the truth. Ah, yeah, that's another one. Thank you, God. About perfect people and judging. Not judgment, but judging. Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged, for with whatever measure you use, it shall be measured unto you. Again, we establish our own, the standard that God judges us by. We do that. If we judge, compare ourselves to other people, and judge ourselves by that, we do mix up being critical with being discerning. And how we do that I've observed is real common, is that a lot of prophetic people think that because they feel it, therefore it must be true. It's like you get around a person and you feel, you know, they hit a button and you're just like, ah! Well, because you felt it, it's got to be God. And then we are so flippantly throwing those labels out about each other. And that's what promotes so much of the competitiveness. Because we don't feel safe around each other. We don't. And again, we brought this on ourselves. But most prophetic communities I've been in were not a safe place to be. They just weren't. You want to be vulnerable and transparent there? Go ahead. Go ahead. Call me in a year and a half when they break your heart and you need somebody to pick you up. Because they probably will. That is the testimony, the legacy of the prophetic. It's not that great. That's what the character is supposed to be about. If you have the character and you walk in the middle ground with the Father's heart and in union with Him, you don't need to judge yourself in relation and comparing yourself to each other. Paul said that. He said, no man judges me. He said, but I judge myself. Well, what's the standard I judge myself by? Jesus. That's the only standard that applies. Absolutely. Because if I start comparing myself to you, the arrogance that comes with that, and this is a truism of life, you can only judge that which you feel superior to. This one write down, because it's true. You will only ever judge anything that you yourself in your own heart and mind feel superior to. And by feeling superior to it, in the first place, that's what you think justifies our ability. When I say you, I'm not picking on you. I am a you, believe me. I'm a lamb, I'm a you. Anyway, you know what I mean? If I feel that I'm better than somebody, that gives me the right to judge them. Well, when I judge them, I've just set up my own standard of judgment. So what happens is that you end up with a group of people that are prophetic people that this stuff is swirling around. It's spiraling, it's escalating, it's getting worse and worse all the time. We're judging each other. We're using our gift of discernment to be critical of each other and everything. And all of a sudden, all heck hits the fan in the group. And I'm like, what happened, God? You were in this. And He said, you don't understand. You set up your own standard of judgment here. I was just being faithful to what I said. To the measure that you use, it'll be measured to you. What did Jesus say was the answer to that? Grace. Be gracious to each other. Well, the only vessel that's suitable to carry and administer grace is your character. It's your heart. It's the heart that's like the Father's. That's a bag that's big enough to carry enough grace and mercy and love to cover anything around you. If it's not, it'll never be enough. Jesus said that. Well, the answer to that wasn't just stop judging, but it was in response to it, grace. But that is what the prophetic is to do. It's to take garbage, to absorb it and say, it stops here, and not respond in kind. One of the most effective strategies of spiritual warfare is the refusal to respond in kind to darkness and evil, to overcome evil with good. The most effective strategy in spiritual warfare is not necessarily to get a whole group of people together to come against the powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of the world and the spiritual wicked and highest places. It's to get a group of people that come together and want to see it overcome in each one of our individual beings. Because that which you overcome in the spirit, you gain authority over. Part of the reason why the church in so many places does not have the authority is because we have never lived John 15. We have never abided long enough for the Father to do His pruning, His work, that we overcome. We cut and run because we get tired, we get disillusioned, it's hard, it's painful, it's not what we wanted, it's not what we thought it was going to be, and we leave. We do not abide until it's finished. Therefore, we never get to the point of the much fruit. Spiritual warfare, in its most powerful form, is to see light overcome darkness one heart at a time. Absolutely. This is a part of the other thing, the prophetic thing, but I feel like I'm supposed to put it out now. For since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent people take it by force. A lot of people that don't know me well are really shocked when I tell them and they find out that inside I am probably the most violent person I've ever known. I mean, I am, that laser focus is a violence that is, which is why people don't believe that, is because I've been characterized and known for most of my life as being a very gentle person, which I am. But you understand, in that paradox of the kingdom of God, the greatest strength is in the greatest gentleness. And what you are violent about in that violent place is that when somebody hurts me, they say, I don't care. I am going to violently war with my own heart to overcome the pain, the injustice, the anger, and the offense, and I will continue to love you. You cannot drive me away. I might not like you, but I'm going to love you. That's violence. It's not violence against entities. Not at first. That violence must first be about you. Focus in on yourself. And when something comes across your path that's going to try to mess with your family, your kids, your friends, your town, your city, your nation, I don't know if I'm going to whoop you. But I tell you what, when I die, I'm still going to be fighting you. That's just the way it is. It's not my job to beat you in the first place, entity. That's my Lord's job. But He said, hey, will you come and stand alongside me with me in this one? No problem. And you might be there for 30 years doing it every day, and nobody except Jesus knows you're there doing it. That will purify your motive as to why you're doing it in the first place. That's what Jesus meant when He said, when you pray, He said, go in your closet and pray. He says, your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That wasn't about the act. It was about purifying the motive of why you're doing it in the first place, which is the whole point of character, which is the whole point of everything He does in our life. He's trying to produce characters that He wants you to be on His lap for all eternity. You know, I think people talk about hell. Oh, it's such a mind-blowing thing, you know, like fire burning. Oh, never end. Oh, I can't conceive of that concept. Well, I can't either. But since I ain't going there, I have the same way about heaven. A place where she'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying, for the former things have all passed away. And that's never going to end. Oh. Yeah, God. All right. I guess the fire don't feel so hot. Well, you know, it ain't so bad. I can put up with it one more day, Lord, before you deliver me. You know, it's true. As we behold Him, we are transformed, going from glory to glory. One of the things about the prophetic, if you are living and operating in the mystical of God, you are living as a stranger in this land. You are. You're not living life according to the norm. But the prophetic is supposed to be the instrument that keeps reminding his children why we're doing this in the first place. Why are you putting up with this in the first place? Why are you going through all of this John 15 pruning? Because your eyes have been set on the hope of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. There is no grander, glorious, awesome thing you can do in your prophetic gifting than to be used by the Spirit of the living God to keep his children in touch with the truth and the reality. It isn't about this life. It's about the next one. It's worth it. It really, really, truly is worth it. And I've only seen glimpses of the truth of who my Father is, who my Lord is, who the Holy Spirit is. You know, Paul says, we see through a glass dimly. I don't even know if I see the glass. But what I do see and have seen, just that little glimpse. So I'm saying, that's worth it. And to sit and imagine what it'll be like in its full glory, unfiltered for all eternity, world without end, amen, forever and ever. I don't care what I have to go through anymore. Another principle to remember in the prophetic, it'll help you. Again, it's that beautiful paradox of God. There are times where God will sacrifice and afflict the few to bless and for the benefit of the many. That is one of the things that is a primary thing of profit. He afflicts, processes, subjects, so that what they get out of it, they can share. It's basically the Isaiah 61 anointing. You don't get that easy. That doesn't just come on you. He doesn't walk around handing that out. Because the ability, the potential to abuse that is so huge, especially the healing the brokenhearted. But there are times, again, the paradox of God, where he will choose to sacrifice the many to preserve the few. That's what he's doing with his bride. So in that, it helps to know the season and the overall principle that God is operating in many times when you see him interacting with groups of people. Or nations even. Which one are you doing here, Daddy? And that starts filtering down. One of the things that's always amazed me about people, serious, I meet people and I have an opinion of them. It isn't always this perfectly discerned and honed thing. You know, I have physical senses. They strike me a certain way, so I have an opinion. And so I've learned the hard way. God, Father, what's your testimony about this person? And it always blows my mind that what he tells me is nothing like I perceived. My point is that when you're interacting with groups, find out what he's doing with the group. What's your testimony over this group before you form an opinion about the group?